ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. Two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 158 of the report, and right now we're rocking out to some Prince, man. Rock with your boy. Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed. We are here for episode number 158 of Report. Once again, I am your host, Mr. Span. And we late, man. We are late. That's why the title of this show is Better Late Than Never. But this is my favorite part of this song, man. So y'all got to rock with me on this one. I'm sorry. That shit's so funky, man. I may get in trouble for playing this long of the song, but shit, I don't care right now, man. All right, got a little bit of that about it. But yeah, man, we late. I didn't do the show yesterday. It's late tonight, man. Like, we starting the show relatively late. It's 10:30 tonight, man. And yeah, man, I'm like, yesterday, man, I did some shit that I hadn't done in quite a long while. It's part of the reason why we didn't get the show done yesterday, and we're doing it tonight. Your man Span did something that he ain't did in about 14, 15 years, maybe. And guess y'all would probably never guess what that probably is, but I cut grass yesterday, man. I cut the motherfucking grass yesterday. Let me stop the prince, man. Let me stop the prince. Yeah, man. I had to cut grass yesterday. This is like one of those things I haven't done. This is one of the things about being a homeowner and all that other stuff that you don't really appreciate when you are living in an apartment, man. Cutting the grass. I hadn't had to do this in a long motherfucking time, right? So I started this odyssey out trying to find a lawnmower, right? So at first I was wrestling with whether or not I was going to like get a lawn service to come out and take care of my yard. I was wrestling with whether or not I was going to rent a lawnmower. And then I was wrestling with whether I should just buy the lawnmower. Now, my wife was telling me I could rent a lawnmower from like Lowe's or Home Depot or something like that. And I thought about it. I was like, yo, man, like, okay, I put this nasty motherfucker in my car. And then when I get finished using this nasty motherfucker, then I got to put that shit back in my car to take it back to him. So that whole renting the equipment stuff was, it really wasn't didn't seem that all that appealing to me, right? So then the lawn service, you know, having a lawn service come out, come take care of the yard, come maintain it. I was thinking about it, thinking real hard about it. Then I thought about it some more. Dog, you only 36, man. It's not like you can't get your ass out there and cut the motherfucking grass, man. Like, not only that, it costs money, man. Like having like a yard service and stuff like that, that is a bit of a luxury for a lot of folks. It's luxury for you to be able to do that, to have someone come out, take care of your yard, you know, landscape the, you know, the shrubbery or whatever else, man. Like, I'm not broke, but I ain't rich neither, man. Like, I just looked at that like, yo, that's a bill. That's a bill that I don't necessarily want to take on right now. So what I did was I said, you know what, fuck it. I went up to Lowe's. And I started looking for yard equipment, man. I started looking for like trimmers and edgers and lawnmowers, right? So I'm walking up to the Lowe's and I'm looking at all the lawnmowers and stuff. And there's a vast array of different lawnmowers, man. Like you got the gas powered ones, and then you got like, you know, they got plug in lawnmowers. I didn't even know they made those, like plug in lawnmowers. Then I came across the battery powered lawnmowers, right? So I was like, man, you know what? That might be the move. That might be the move. I want to take that damn thing back. I want to take it back. It kept cutting off on me when I got into some of the taller grass. Before I could actually finish mowing the front yard, motherfucking battery died on the damn thing. So I'm really considering taking back that battery-powered lawnmower, man. Like I kind of figured like I didn't want to have to deal with the gas cans and going to buy gas for this damn lawnmower. I didn't want to have to deal with reconditioning the damn thing every spring and summer when it, you know, after having it stored up for the winter or whatever else, man. But I'm gonna give it one more go round, man. If it don't do the deal, you know, if it doesn't do what I needed to do after this one more go round, that damn lawnmower may just very well be going back, man. I can't do it, especially for as much as I paid for it, man. I was like, nah, it shouldn't be doing this. It shouldn't be just shutting off as I'm just trying to push through a little bit of the grass, man. I get the grass was a little bit tall, but goddamn, come on, bro. Come on, man. Now, I done got to talking about going ahead and doing the lawn for the first time in about 15 years, but I did forget to tell you guys how to get in touch with me here at the Spirit Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can go ahead and hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I'll play those messages on the show and respond to you right here on the show as well. You can also email me at feedback@thespiritreport.com. That's feedback@thespiritreport.com. Leave those emails. I'll reply to those on the show here as well. You can also chop it up with me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Spam. So go ahead and follow me there. Chop it up with me throughout the week. Also, you can go to iTunes and or Stitcher Radio, man. Go to iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. Leave me a 5-star review, man. For those of you who really rock with us here at the Spirit Report Podcast, man, and you like this show, go ahead and do that, you know, do that solid for your mans, right? Go there. Let the people know that you're rocking with us over here at the Spirit Report Podcast. It doesn't cost you anything, and it only takes you a minute, man. Like, yo, I like this show. Boom, there you go. And I get help with the ratings. I get help with, like, visibility and everything else, man. So if you would be so kind, go to iTunes and or Stitcher Radio and leave a 5-star review. Those 5-star reviews will get read here on the show as well. For all your Spam Report needs, go to www.thespamreport.com. All the podcasts are available there. The videos that I use for the podcast are available there. You're a one-stop shop for everything Spam Report. Go there, vote in the polls, leave comments on the episodes, pretty much everything. If you want to donate to the show, you could do that as well over at thespamreport.com. And whatever you give, and as often as you give, is very much appreciated here at The Spam Report, man. Real talk. But, yeah, man. So, I thought about tweaking, like, the schedule for the show, man, because I noticed, like, with the summer months coming up, I got some stuff coming up down the pipe, man, and it may kind of affect how I'm able to schedule these shows. So I'll keep you guys posted as to whether or not the schedule is going to change from Thursdays and Sundays to something different. But yeah, we still are going to do the two shows a week here at the Spam Report as well, man. Now, also, some other things kind of happened earlier in the week, or actually this weekend, man. A really good friend of mine, my boy Henry, is getting married, man. So, he asked me to be a part of his wedding party. So, I'm going to be a groomsman in the wedding party, man. And Saturday was the first time in a really long time, that pretty much all of the crew from high school, when I used to go to high school here in Detroit, pretty much all of that crew was together in one night, man. Like, it was me, Will, and my boy Tramell, and Goose, and Henry, and like, it was all of us except my boy Walt. And Walt was a little salty about that. We didn't even know Walt was in Detroit, man. We didn't even know the homie was here, but we all got together, man, for the little meet and greet for Henry and his fiance's wedding, man. And it was cool, man. It was really good to like kind of chop it up with your homies when you hadn't done it in such a long time, man. So Saturday, man, that was where I was at, man. Like, I can't tell you how many beers I knocked back. Excuse me. Yeah, man, can't tell you. And then we decided we was gonna go to some spot called a Bar 7 in Southfield, Michigan, man. I'm gonna tell you, there's nothing appealing about like going into a bar and you go in there because you're hungry and they got food or whatever, but like the bar is packed, there's really nowhere to sit. And then when you finally do get somewhere to sit, there's like niggas just like standing like very near to you doing nothing but just milling around. Like, nothing's appealing to that. And it kind of reminded me of why I don't really fuck with bars like that much anymore, man. I kind of stay like, I'm pretty much a fucking homebody. I've noticed that, man. I'm content with what I got at the crib. Like, I can drink at my house, I can watch movies at my house, I can play video games at my house, I can do a lot of things at the crib, man. It doesn't involve me going out and milling about a whole bunch of people just to eat a meal, man. Don't get it wrong, man. I don't mind going out to eat or whatnot. It was just that particular environment at that particular time. I was like, man, this is some bullshit. But other than that, man, like I said, it was real good to be out with the homies, man. We hadn't done that in a long time, man. It was a long time overdue. And, you know, yeah, I spent the weekend pretty much doing yard work and kicking it with my homies, man. Real talk. Now, I got some random thoughts for y'all. And, these are some things I have been thinking about over the course of the last few, you know, last time I talked to y'all, man. Nothing real big, but I got a tip for all of my Detroit listeners, right? You know, if you from here and you know you got out of town guest, here's what y'all do. Like, see, the thing is, man. Like, sometimes your people come in from out of town, man. They want to know what's there to do in Detroit, man. Like, you got casinos, man. You know, we got, you know, the Renaissance Center, man. You know, you got, you know, clubs and bars or whatever. We got some really nice restaurants and stuff. Now, sometimes when it comes to the nice restaurants, man, like, you know, folks really want to eat. When folks go to different towns, they really want to know what the cuisine is in the town that they're in, right? So one of the things that Detroit is kind of known for is the Coney Dog, right? Now, for those of you who are not familiar with the Coney Dog is basically a chili dog with a special sauce that they call like Coney sauce. And it's like, sometimes if you get a Coney special, they'll add like some ground beef to your hot dog and you get mustard and onions. It's some really good shit, right? But the problem and the mistake that a lot of us make when we have out of town guests is we take them to the chain Coney Islands, right? So you can't take your people to no Leo's Coney Island, man. You can't take your people to no National Coney Island, man. You got to take these motherfuckers to the Coney Island in the hood, bro. You got to take your people to the Coney Island where it look like they got a few health code violations up in that motherfucker. Like, real talk. You got to take them to the place where it look like they ain't cleaned the grease in the deep fryer in about 2 months. That's what all the flavor is, man. You can't get rid of the flavor, man. You gotta take them there. They'll always remember that time you took them to the Coney Island in the hood. They'll always remember that, right? It's like when I go back home to Chicago, man. Every time I go home to Chicago, I make sure I go to Harold's Chicken. But if I go to Harold's Chicken, I don't want to go to no, like, squeaky clean-ass Harold's Chicken. No, take me to the one on, like, I want to say 91st and Ashland, man, where it's the old lady and she's checking, you know, she's ringing you up and she's going to cuss you out if you ain't got the motherfucking correct change. Like, give me that one. That way I know my half-white catfish dinner with mild sauce is going to be right. You got to take it to the spot that look like they got health code violations popping off in there, man. So that's one thing I was thinking about, man. When you have relatives come in from out of town, Detroiters, take them to them hood Coney Islands, man, real talk. And they could use the business, right? Now, another thing I was thinking about, and this is kind of indicative of some of the things that we've seen over the course of the last few months, the last few weeks, since Facebook has put out Facebook Live, man. You know, when Facebook Live first came out, it was new. Folks didn't really know how to use it. They didn't know what to make of it. So, you know, we had a whole bunch of people that was coming out with videos like, yeah, man, you know, just live and shit, you know, doing this Facebook Live shit. What y'all up to? Me, nothing, just chilling, trying to see what's going on the Facebook Live, you know, because I'm live, nigga. Am I really on this motherfucker? Yeah, saying I got some. Oh, okay, what's up, Reggie? What's up, Reggie, man? I see you. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to need y'all to go back to doing that because, man, I'm sorry, man. Like, I remember I was, like, adamant about y'all not doing that, like, how wasteful of time that was. Man, with all the bullshit going on with Facebook Live, man, we're seeing people dying on Facebook Live. We're seeing people, you know, posting fight videos to Facebook Live. Like, of course, it permeates like everything else, man. Like, the bullshit always seems to rise to the top when it comes to live distribution of content or whatever. But I'm gonna need y'all to go back to being boring, bruh. I'm gonna need y'all to go back to being boring. Like, you know what? Being boring wasn't so motherfucking bad. People weren't really amped to be on it. Now that they know that they can be, you know, fucking headline news, folks are flocking to this shit, man. So, yeah, go back to being born. It's nothing wrong with being born, man. Real talk. Y'all can do that. You can be that. Yeah, man, what y'all doing? Yeah, it's your boy Span up in here going live on these hoes. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Nah, man, y'all can go right back to doing that. It's cool. It's Span approved. Goddamn, right? Now, yeah, that was one thing. Now, another thing I was kind of thinking about, man. You know, I like Ratchet TV. I watch a lot of Ratchet TV. I watch, like, Love and Hip Hop, pretty much all the Love and Hip Hop franchises. I watch Basketball Wives. I watch... Every now and again, shit, your man Span, like, I watch, shit, The Real Housewives of Atlanta. I fucks with that, with The Real Housewives, bro. Like, I be sitting there watching that shit, man. And I'm on the storylines and everything. But here's the thing, man. I'm going to need some of you niggas, because it's usually niggas. I'm going to need some of you niggas who, like, be poo-pooing the Love and Hip Hop, be poo-pooing The Real Housewives and The Black Inks and The Basketball Wives and all that other stuff. Like, man, I can't watch that shit, man. That shit too ratchet, man. It ain't real, man. They be making this shit up, man. Listen, some of you niggas, I know for a fact, watch Wrestler. If your ass is like 30 plus and you watching wrestling and got the nerve to try to poo-poo the Love and Hip Hop and the Basketball Wives and the Black Ink and the Real Housewives and all that other shit, I mean, you shut the fuck up, bruh. Because your shit fake as hell, too. Your shit is fake than a motherfucker. Every damn storyline lead to two dudes grappling in the ring? Come on, man. Every storyline leads right back to that goddamn ring. Nah, man. you ain't got no room to talk. You ain't got no motherfucking room to talk. If your ass is watching wrestling, you ain't got no room to talk about the Ratchet TV that I love and enjoy. So fuck you and your judgment, nigga. I don't give a damn. I will watch that Ratchet shit. I will enjoy that Ratchet shit. And I'm going to be feeling better about myself after I get finished watching that shit, because that's really what it's all about. I'm judging them motherfuckers in much the same way that you judging them motherfuckers. Only I'm going to watch it. Right? Only I'm going to watch it. So yeah, man, those were my random thoughts, man, for the week. I hope you guys got something out of that. Real talk. Now, some other things kind of happened in the news over the course of the last few days, man. Rachel Dolezal. Oh, man. So this woman refuses to go away. Rachel Dolezal is like that annoying ass hemorrhoid that you just can't shake, man. Like, you done put all the preparation H on in the world and you cannot get rid of this goddamn hemorrhoid. I would not know from personal experience, but I've heard, right? So Rachel Dolezal, who we all know is the white lady who decides that she's going to declare herself black. She is adamant about it. She's written a book about it. She's currently on a book tour promoting promoting this foolishness. And so Rachel Dolezal, she's on a book tour. And Rachel Dolezal took her ass all the way over to the motherland in South Africa. Now, the thing about this is this, man. Like, can you imagine? Like, think about the audacity. The audacity, or as some would say, the caucasity, it takes, the level of fucking hubris it takes to take your lily white ass over to South Africa and proclaim yourself to be black, to where black people originate. Well, where humans originated. You take your ass to the motherland to say that your ass is black in the nation full of black folks, right? So, hold on, let me see. I thought I had this picture. I thought I had this article pulled up, but I can pull this up now. It's the beauty of the internet. Let's see. Rachel Dolezal. All right. Okay. So Rachel Dolezal, she goes over there. She's doing this promotional tour for the book. And you know, the odd thing is this, man, like, it was a church who invited her over there. And one of the things about that is, you know, a lot of people, especially the church, like the church, I hate to say this, but like the church has like facilitated a lot of bullshit. Like, and really the thing of it is, when it comes to the church, is they will use someone like a Rachel Dolezal to try to mock the transsexual person or the LGBT community. They will use someone like Rachel Dolezal to kind of mock this. I don't even think they necessarily believe that Rachel Dolezal believes that she's a black woman. No, everyone knows that Rachel Dolezal is playing blackness for right now, it seems like, economic expediency, right? But they will play this up to kind of poo-poo on the LGBTQ community and specifically the trans community, because of course they don't agree with the idea that someone can be transsexual. So at this, I'm going to read this article here from this is from Daily Mail, and they shady as fuck off the top. It says American race faker Rachel Dolezal has returned to the limelight with her first ever visit to Africa on a lecture tour about race, a move which has been met with outrage, calls for a boycott, and a string of scathing memes. Police flanked Ms. Dolezal's first keynote event after a hostile meeting with mostly black students who objected to her insistence that she had an authentic black identity despite admitting to being biologically white. The 39-year-old, who was labeled an ethnic fraud after passing herself off as a black woman for more than a decade, recently took a Nigerian name to make herself sound more authentic. The shame black activist, who now calls herself Aniche, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Amari Diallo, outraged her young black audience in Johannesburg after equating her claim to being trans black with the transgender experience of Caitlyn Jenner. Right. Right. Now, see, another thing that was pretty interesting about Rachel Dolezal's claims is that not she will piggyback off of the transsexual movement and the transsexual or someone who's transsexual wanting to be acknowledged as for who they are, who they identify as. She's trying to therefore then take that to, well, I can be black if they can do that. Right. And that's not how it works. That's pretty much like.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Not at all. Right. So. She's trying to equate that. And then you have religious people in South Africa who's also trying to use this to poo-poo that very same thing. Now, one thing I find very interesting about Rachel Dolezal, the human hemorrhoid that will not go away, is that she seems to have this idea that she has a better understanding of what it means to be black than actual black people have of what it means to be black. Right? Now, there was another article that I was able to read over the course of the week. Let me see if I could pull this up. I think it was in thestranger.com. And this sister, she pretty much laid it out pretty plainly about the ridiculousness that is Rachel Dolezal. But one of the things that really got to me in that article was where she talked about a white woman. Wait, I could just pull it up. Damn it, Span. What are you doing? Let me see if I can pull this up here. What the part that really caught me the most in this article. Okie dokie. Where is it? This is a pretty long article too, but I really do encourage you guys to read it. I'm going to have the link up on thespanreport.com so you guys can check it out for yourselves. But let me see if I can pull up. What was that part? And I can't seem to find it. I should have had this pulled up already. Okay. Wait, is that a picture of Rachel Dolezal painted as a black woman? Oh my God. Okay. So. And I still can't find it. Oh, well, I'll put it on the website. But basically, and I'm sorry for taking so long looking through there, but basically is this. Rachel Dolezal has positioned herself as an African-American history teacher, which she's never been credentialed in that. She fashioned herself an African-American social justice warrior, so to speak, as she ascended to the prominent spot of president of the NAACP chapter in Spokane, Washington. She's going on a book tour to proclaim that blackness is a social construct, which is something that a lot of people know that it's a social construct. She's not saying anything deeper than what people already know, but ultimately that Rachel Dolezal feels that she has the authentic black experience and she can speak on it as a white woman. And she's going to go around to black people explaining this to black people about her authentic blackness. The audacity it takes for somebody to do something like that. Only a white person can do that. Only a white person can go to Africa to explain blackness to black people. Only a white person would have the audacity to do it. Right? It's amazing to watch whiteness work in this particular instance when it comes to this human hemorrhoid, man. And like, I know folks are like, yo, man, the only way to get Rachel Dolezal to go away is to stop giving her attention, is to stop talking about her. But at the end of the day, man, hopefully this is the last vestiges of whatever little fame or whatever little publicity that she gets. But at the same time, man, it's like, yo, man, you got to kind of call the bullshit out when you see it. We've been calling Rachel Dolezal out for a little bit over a year, maybe even 2 years now. I'm not sure. It's been a while since she first came when she was first outed by her white parents. But the audacity it takes for this white woman to put on blackness, perform blackness as a struggle, and then to try to actually explain blackness to black people. It's amazing, man. It's an amazing thing to witness. So, those kids over there in Johannesburg, we're giving her the business as well, man. There was one person who said that, wait. Well, Okay. You know what? Screw this. Screw this. Screw Rachel Dolezal, man. Like, I'm flustered tonight, man. I don't know what the hell's going on with me. I'm just flustered tonight. I'm not really on, right? Like I normally am. But moving on, man. We're gonna talk about Snoop Dogg, right? So Snoop Dogg, as you guys know, the rapper, former gang member, currently co-host with Martha Stewart on VH1. Snoop Dogg, man, he's a little bit upset at the fact that Bill Cosby, he's upset with the fact that Bill Cosby was humiliated during his sexual assault allegations when he was going through that scandal, which he's still dealing with right now. That case is still going through the courts. And the reason why Snoop Dogg is upset at the treatment that Bill Cosby got is because he's comparing that treatment to the treatment that Bill O'Reilly is currently getting, right? Now, one of the things I think is funny about this whole thing about Snoop being upset at Bill O'Reilly, or the idea that Bill Cosby got worse treatment than Bill O'Reilly, is this, man. Like, right now, Bill O'Reilly's name is being strung through the mud. Right now, Bill O'Reilly has just been fired from his most prominent position, which was the biggest news, well, act like personality on Fox News, which is the number one new cable news network and has been for many years. He was there for 21 years. He did get a golden parachute of a $25 million severance package. But by and large, people are looking at Bill O'Reilly like, yo, man, you're a dirty piece of shit. Like, you've been harassing women for a long time. It's probably been known for a long time that you've been, you know, this harassing piece of shit, but only to the point now where it's affected the advertisers who decided that they were no longer going to advertise on his program, where it finally resulted in him getting fired, right? So Snoop decided he was going to do a video. Let me see if I can pull this video up. Where is it? Where is this video? I thought I had this in pocket. Jesus Christ. Okay, here we go. So Snoop decided he was going to do a video reacting to what was going on with Bill O'Reilly. I'm going to show you guys this video here in a second. Let me pull this up. Screen share it.
Snoop Dogg to induct Tupac into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's loud.
I need all eyes on me for this special announcement.
And
my favorite rapper, hip-hop legend Tupac Shakur.
That isn't what I'm looking for. But here's the video that I'm looking for right here. Check this out.
New allegations from a former employee who claims she was sexually and racially harassed by the Fox News host. Well, yesterday, another protest was held outside of Fox News headquarters in New York, calling on the network to fire Bill O'Reilly. He took a vacation 2 weeks ago that he said was a planned one. He is set to come back on Monday, but now that may not happen. Joining us is Dylan Byer, CNN senior reporter for media and politics. Dylan, good to see you.
What are you hearing
about this vacation, do you think?
Well, the vacation always seemed somewhat dubious from the beginning. He was slated to come back on the 24th of this month. It now looks like he may not come back at all. The question really now is whether or not Fox News and his parent company, 21st Century Fox, will give him an opportunity to say goodbye to his viewers, because Fox and O'Reilly and O'Reilly's lawyers, they're discussing the exit strategy. All signs point to the Murdochs having decided that it's time.
All right. That was a bit loud, but here's the thing. Here's the thing that I think is it's important to say. He's complaining that Bill O'Reilly got a chance to go on vacation, so to speak. That Bill O'Reilly was able to kind of escape, or he thinks he was able to kind of escape media scrutiny because of what happened over at Fox News. Excuse me. But the thing about it is this, man, like, there's a couple things. One, the allegations against Bill Cosby are a little bit more serious than the allegations that were going on with Bill O'Reilly. Now, that's not to somehow discount what Bill O'Reilly did, but the actual, like the sexual assault, the actual drugging of a woman to take sexual advantage of her, is a little bit different than the suggestion that we should have sex in the workplace, right? A little bit different. Both of them illegal, but they're both on like different degrees. They're on different scales, so to speak. Also, it's not as if Bill Cosby is a sympathetic figure here. And I don't think that, and there's a lot of brothers who believe that, like Bill O'Reilly, Bill Cosby was railroaded, and Bill Cosby didn't do this. And there's a lot of brothers who believe that Bill Cosby is still niggas that believe that Bill Cosby was about to buy NBC, y'all. Like, real talk. Still people that think that. There isn't a sympathetic figure here. Not in Bill Cosby, not in Bill O'Reilly. Neither one of these motherfuckers get any sympathy. And I think what Snoop was trying to do in that particular instance was to try to say, like, just try to put it out there like Bill Cosby is a sympathetic figure. Nah, Bill Cosby did some fucked up shit. Bill Cosby, whether the evidence is circumstantial or concrete, what's in front of him was fucked up. Really fucked up. And the attitudes that we got in the hood, man, are like, the attitudes that a lot of brothers have, man, is like, yo, well, these white men are getting away with this. We should be able to get away with it, too. I've been telling y'all that shit for a while. Y'all been hearing me say that shit on here for a minute. And there's a whole lot of brothers out here, especially when it comes to, like, sexual assault, sexual harassment, or attitude towards women. I've been saying for a while that it's a whole lot of brothers out here that really want to just trade places with white men. They don't necessarily want equality for everybody. And right here is a prime example of it. Snoop thinks that Bill O'Reilly is getting away with something. Snoop thinks that Bill Cosby should be able to get away with this shit as well. Both of them motherfuckers shouldn't be able to get away with nothing. So why is he trying to couch this argument in Bill Cosby being somehow wronged? Because they had to take, because somebody took his ass to court for what he did to him. Nah, dude. No.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Nah, man. Bill Cosby stands accused of sexually assaulting over 50 women. Bill O'Reilly stands accused, as a matter of fact, has settled quite a few cases to the tune of over $13 million for sexual assault or sexual harassment claims at his workplace. Both of them are fucked up. Neither one of these motherfuckers deserve any of our sympathy. But that attitude of the attitude that we have about women, man, that yo, to the point of yo, we should be able to get away with the same shit these white boys is getting away with. That's the attitude that is being exhibited here by Snoop Dogg, man. So he's wrong on that. He's wrong on that. And then on top of that, I guess there isn't anything on top of that. I just kind of feel like that whole attitude, that entire attitude is toxic. And it's one of those things that, like, it's so commonplace. It is so commonplace that sometimes you may even find yourself arguing with even a woman who has the same idea that Snoop Dogg has. Sometimes a woman could have just as misogynistic views about women as a man has. Right? Snoop Dogg. I'm done talking about him, man. Now. Yeah. Another thing kind of happened earlier this week, man. Now, of course, you guys know that, well, maybe you don't know, but Alex Jones is one of the hosts over at this web outfit called InfoWars. InfoWars is one of those truthers / conspiracy theorist / entertainment, I guess, sites. And they traffic in a lot of bullshit. Like, InfoWars is one of those places you go when you swear you're questioning everything and being open-minded when really you just sound like a dickhead. And so Alex Jones has said some repugnant things like the Sandy Hook massacre did not happen, that those were false flag events, that those were crisis actors that were perpetrating that event, that all of those kids who died didn't really die, that it was a phony event. Alex Jones is one of those people who will tell you that 9/11 was an inside job, that we totally know that 9/11 was orchestrated by the government, and that George W. Bush did that in a lead up to go to Iraq, that he used that as a lead up to go to Iraq. Now, he may have used that as a lead up to go to Iraq, but goddamn, we've all universally acknowledged George Bush as a motherfucking bumbling ass idiot while he was president of the United States. Do we really believe that George W. Bush was able to orchestrate 9/11 on that scale to get a war started with Iraq? Right? This is the kind of news that, or these are the kind of views that are expressed over at InfoWars. And on top of that, they're like, you know, kind of linked to the alt-right, man. They spend a lot of time speaking a lot of like the talking points that someone of the alt-right would spew. And so I, for a while, I remember like earlier on when I first started doing like YouTube videos and stuff like that, I remember I used to see like black folks, you know, I used to always question like black folks who would like kind of question, you know, use these same things. And it, especially when I would go to like a site like InfoWars, or if I would watch a video, like if I would watch an Alex Jones video, because I used to punish myself that way. When I would watch an Alex Jones video and I would see the comments, and you know, these folks are white, they hate black people. Like, and then I would bring this shit back to Facebook. Like, damn, so you niggas are, this is the shit that y'all rolling with? These motherfuckers hate y'all, but y'all believe the same shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it starts making sense too, though, when you start noticing like the alt-right and the Hotep niggas are actually trying to form some sort of alliance. You know what I'm saying? Like that's been a thing where the alt-right and the Hoteps are trying to get together and have some sort of have some sort of kumbaya moment, right? So, like, Alex Jones is actually pretty goddamn popular. People listen to Alex Jones. People watch Alex Jones. Some, like, to a large degree, like, hell, even the current dude that's occupying the White House right now, Donald Trump, has retweeted Alex Jones, has, you know, Alex Jones kind of like maybe props it up as if he's real chummy with the, you know, with the guy in the White House right now or whatever. But the thing about it is, man, is that even if he doesn't have the ear of the White House, he does have the ear of folks who would put a dude like Donald Trump in the White House. He has that sort of influence. There's a lot of people who think that way, right? And it came out that, you know, like during a custody hearing, because Alex Jones, this is the reason why I'm bringing this up, Alex Jones is in a custody hearing. He's in a custody battle with his ex-wife. His ex-wife wants sole custody of the kids. And his lawyers, Alex Jones's lawyers, have actually argued that the person that Alex Jones portrays himself to be on InfoWars is him playing a character. Christ, man, you are all off tonight, my nigga. God damn. Hold on. All right. So, yeah, man, they're saying that Alex Jones, he's playing a character, man. Like, this isn't even something that's real. It's performance art, right? So let me read this article from Business Insider. It says, the real Alex Jones is not his bombastic conspiratorial InfoWars persona. His lawyer is hoping to convince a Texas jury in the radio host custody child custody battle. That's more or less what attorney Randall Wilhite told Texas District Judge Orlinda Naranjo, the Austin American-Statesman reported on Sunday. Wilhite told Naranjo that Jones's public personality should not be considered as material in evaluating the InfoWars founder's ability to be a father. Wilhite said that doing so would be comparable to judging actor Jack Nicholson in such a custody battle based on his performance as the Joker in Batman. Excuse me. He's playing a character, Wilhite said of Jones. He is a performance artist. Now, again, like I said, Alex Jones has the ear of a lot of folks. Some would say even to the dude that's currently occupying the White House right now. But even if he doesn't, a lot of the motherfuckers who would vote for someone like a Donald Trump, right? Listen to a guy like Alex Jones. And one of the things that kind of made me think about was what we do when we get on the mic, right? Like, when you decide that you're going to watch a when you decide you're going to watch a YouTube video, when you decide that you're going to watch a news channel, when you decide that you're going to listen to a podcast, like deciphering what's real and what's fake can sometimes, like the lines can sometimes be blurred, right? And cable news kind of started the trend with that. Like when you start seeing a lot of talking heads on cable news where they're talking about the news, not necessarily reporting the news. And it became more about the personalities who were talking about the news as opposed to what the news actually was, right? And it gets to a point where like even like those of us who have platforms and those of us who get on the mic, one of the things I was thinking about, man, like when you listen to like, say for instance, when you listen to me, when you listen to any other podcast, I feel like my responsibility is to be as true to who I am on the mic. Like I feel like when I'm on this mic, you are hearing what it is I feel at the time, how I'm feeling about a particular subject or a particular issue. You are getting my authentic thoughts at the time. You are not getting some character that's been made up. I just talked about myself in the third person. Shame on me. But you're not getting some character that I'd have made up when I get on the mic. What you get on the mic is me, right? I don't have an alternative persona. I don't have, you know, I'm not playing devil's advocate on the mic. I'm not giving you some bullshit. I'm not giving you some like just being a contrarian for the sake of being contrarian. I'm not doing any of that shit. What you get here is who I am and what I think about shit at the time. And so with Alex Jones, I bet you a lot of his listeners, a lot of his fans really didn't consider that Alex Jones was on the mic acting. They were never given that information. They were never given that sort of heads up, like, yeah, you know, this is satire, you know, this is wink wink, this is some bullshit, but we gonna act like it's legitimate news. It's not like, you know, they're watching Colbert or something like that, where he's mocking Bill O'Reilly and acting in a lot of the same ways that Bill O'Reilly would be acting. No, they're watching this and they genuinely believe what the fuck this dude is telling them. To the point where, like, they even base their voting habits on some of the things that this asshole says. And it speaks to the responsibility that, you know, content creators have and their authenticity, you know. And I guess it also goes into, you know, what your aim is when you get on the mic. Are you aiming to entertain? Are you aiming to inform? Are you aiming to do both? But if you're doing both, can you make sure that the audience can you make it so that the audience can also know that this part here is a joke? This part here, we're talking about some real shit. Not to the point where it's indecipherable and people don't know the difference. That's the problem with a lot of the shit that we consume outside of, you know, we can pick and choose, you know, which points of view that we like, which points of view that we gravitate towards. We can kind of go there and we can stay there and maybe never hear an alternative thought. And some of that shit is toxic. Some of it may not necessarily be, but yeah, man, like at the end of the day, I feel like being on the mic requires a bit of authenticity. And a person like Alex Jones isn't necessarily authentic. If you listen to Alex Jones, man, if any of you have ever listened to Alex Jones, man, you could tell it's a bunch of bullshit. Like anybody with a brain stem could tell it's a bullshit. You would think, right? A functioning brain stem would think that it is bullshit. But yo, man, it's a whole lot of people that are eating that shit up, man. So much so that we got to do occupying the White House, who has absolutely no motherfucking business being there, has no credentials whatsoever, has no experience in the matters whatsoever, is flying by the seat of his motherfucking pants, fucking up every goddamn day. And we got people like Alex Jones to thank for putting them there, man. So, yeah, that was something that I was thinking about over the course of the week, man. I'm like, man, like, it just speaks to that. Something about that spoke to me, man. And, I wanted to express that here tonight on the show. Another thing, man, that kind of happened over the course of the week. Of course, we talked about the Facebook killer Stephen Stevens last week. We talked about him, and you know, I talked about how disappointed I was in a whole lot of cats, man, when it came to that. You know, the reactions to that, the denial of what happened there, like even getting to the point where we're into some Alex Jones territory, where we're talking about it being a distraction, where we're talking about it being fake, that these, you know, the family of Robert Goodwin Sr. are crisis actors, you know, that this man didn't die on the sidewalk and it wasn't broadcast on Facebook. I couldn't believe. I couldn't believe, like, some of the reactions that I saw people having to it, and a lot of brothers kind of dismissing it and basically trying to absolve, just absolve him and that role, you know, like the role of being a menace, right? Of actually being a menace. You know, he looked like us. If some of us know someone who looks like him, we walk past guys like that all the time. You know, so like the denial of it was a bit sickening to watch. Like the mental gymnastics that we saw exhibited during that time was a bit fucked up to watch. But you know what's even more fucked up is the woman who he blamed. The woman who he blamed for his killing spree. He actually took the time. Well, people are actually taking the time to harass this woman. To actually harass this woman, man. So, let me see if I can pull this up. Jesus Christ, man. I don't know what the fuck is up with Pocket. But Pocket isn't saving everything I put here. It is pissing me off. Pissing me off.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Well, that'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Yeah, man. I don't know where the fuck this story just went to. Let me see if I can pull this up on my Facebook, man. Because I know I had it. I know it's here somewhere. Do-do-do-do-do-do. And I can't find it. Okay, so here's the deal. There were people blaming that woman for not calling Steven Stevenson or Stephen Stevens, whatever. Fuck him. There were people calling her, blaming her for what happened to Robert Goodwin Sr. There were people like hitting her up on social media. There were people reaching out to her on social media to, you know, threaten her to, you know, basically harass her. Now, mind you, these are all the actions. This is all based on the actions of some asshole, idiot motherfucker who decided to get on Facebook and kill someone before he took himself out. Falsely claiming that he had taken out more. And yet this woman is left to bear the brunt of the vitriol behind that. He's gone now. Like, he doesn't have to face any of this shit. Now she's dealing with it. And this is the part that I think a lot of motherfuckers didn't get. Is that at the end of the day, like, yo, she's going to have to deal with this in ways that many of us can never really quite honestly fathom. You're being blamed for someone dying and you didn't even do it. Someone decided to kill someone else in your name because they were upset with you. And then on top of that, I kind of wonder about the mentality of people who think that, okay, going after her is going to do what exactly for you? What does that do for you exactly to go and try to reach out to this woman, contact her to say that you're going to do X, Y, and Z to her because this happened? What does that do for you really? How do you get to a point where that's a thing to do? It's almost like when, like, I don't know if this is a great comparison, but like when, say, for instance, you get into an argument with a celebrity on Twitter, right? And then their fans show up their fans show up, and now, like, they're all in your mentions. They're talking shit to you only because they want the attention of this famous person. They think that this famous person is going to, you know, shower them with attention and make an example of them for coming at you. And really, you're sitting there wondering, like, yo, like, why are you so mad? Like, you interjected yourself into an argument that had nothing to do with you. So you're arguing with the person that you don't know over another person that you don't know and thinking that's cool. Right? It's a weird dynamic. But I do honestly wonder, what the fuck does anybody get out of reaching out to that woman to harass her in that way? Now, I know, like, anybody who's listening to the show now, like, yo, man, Span, you have you on the woman talk this week, man. What's up, bruh? It's like, it's again, like, man, I said this shit Thursday, man. This shit is all around us, man. It's hard to unsee bullshit when you are made aware of it. You can't unsee it. You can't unsee it, man. It's all around us. So, yeah. I don't know where the hell that damn story went to. And it's been fucking up my show all night. Thanks, Pocket. Right? But let's see. Some other shit happened, man. Sarah Palin took her trash ass to the White House, man. But before she did that, she weighed in on the Fox News scandal about Bill O'Reilly. And she talked about whether or not the women who had accused Bill O'Reilly of sexual harassment only stayed to collect a paycheck. Right? Now, you know, the interesting thing about that is this, man. One, they very well may have stayed at their job for a paycheck. Why? Because people need paychecks. Doesn't necessarily negate what it was that Bill O'Reilly did. Doesn't make what he did okay. Right? Also, that they said, well, like Bill O'Reilly and Fox News talked about them having a human resources hotline if something like that should ever happen, where they can report instances of sexual harassment to the human resources and whatnot. When we know that this shit goes from the head on down with Roger Ailes, and a lot of the upper management at Fox News were just removed for these very same allegations themselves. So if it's coming all the way down from the top, if this is all right, what makes you think a phone call to human resources is going to really move anything at all? What makes you think it's going to move in your direction at all when you know that the word from on high is, yo, we can harass these women as much as we like? This is the culture that we've cultivated here over the course of the last 20, 25 years. We got this. We cool. And if they say anything, we'll just pay them off. We pay some money and then we'll be good. Nobody ever hear from them. We'll make them sign a non-disclosure agreement. Pay them a little bit of money, they'll go away. Right? So, remember when I was talking earlier about sometimes a woman can espouse some misogynistic views even as a woman. Sarah Palin is a classic example of that. Right? And then on top of that, like, they were at the White House. She was at the White House with Kid Rock and Ted Nugent. Shout out to everybody who was hitting me up a couple years ago talking about how Kid Rock wasn't a racist. Remember when I was talking about Kid Rock with the Confederate flag and everything, and people were talking? I had niggas here in Detroit, man, here in the D, talking about some, man, you don't know Richie, man. You don't know him like that. You don't know. He got honored by the NAACP, my nigga. They don't just hand those out to everybody. Like, and then the nigga in the back like, I got one. Right? Get the NAACP Image Award or some shit. Kid Rock is out here hanging around with Sarah Palin, hanging around with Ted Nugent. Ted Nugent is a notoriously racist motherfucker, man. Donald Trump ran his campaign on racism, man. Where are you niggas at? And please don't tell me he got a black kid one more time. Please don't say that shit to me. This is weird, man. Like, this is just, oh, man. Like, it's a level of fuck shit that's going on in this world, man, where I'm just like, you get kind of, you ever get burned out with the fuck shit that's going on around you? I think I'm kind of getting there. Well, like, it's so much fuck shit. You can never catch it all in two shows, man. Maybe I have to add a third show or some shit like that, right? Oh, man, this has been a bumpy ride tonight, man. Real talk. I am not going to lie to you. It's been a real bumpy ride. But we are coming up towards the close, man. But before we get out of here, we do have our ass hat of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And our ass hat of the week this week is a guy that goes by the name of, what's this dude's name? Frank Artiles, right? Frank Artiles is a Florida state senator. Frank Artiles is a racist former Florida state senator. So we're getting this story out of the New York Times, I believe. Yeah, this is the Times. It says, Florida state senator who unleashed an expletive-laden rant over drinks with two other lawmakers this week uttered a racial slur for black people and other vulgarities resigned from his position on Friday. He called them niggas. He called them niggas. Now, it also goes on to say that State Senator Frank Artiles, a Republican from Miami-Dade County, apologized the day after the episode, saying on Tuesday that he let his temper get the best of me. But Mr. Artiles continued to face increasing pressure to resign. The state's Democratic Party and members of the Florida Legislative Black Caucus said that an apology was not enough. Thank you. Thank you. Far too often, black folks are like made to feel like we are less than human for wanting what the hell is right. The family of Robert Goodwin Sr. asked whether or not they forgive Stephen Stevens, the Facebook dickhead. We always acted, black people had to be the bigger person at all times. Meanwhile, everybody else gets to be pieces of shit. Nah, fuck that. Nah, that's not enough. You called us niggas, right? So, it says he goes on to say, it is clear to me that my recent actions and words that I spoke fell far short of what I expect for myself. And for this, I am very sorry. He wrote in his resignation letter, I am responsible and I am accountable and effective immediately. I'm resigning from the Florida State Senate. The profane tirade occurred on Monday night at the exclusive Governor's Club in Tallahassee during a conversation at a table with several people, including two other state senators, Audrey Gibson and Perry Thurston, both Democrats who are black. After discussions between Mr. Artiles and Ms. Gibson over bills in the legislature, Mr. Artiles used two expletives to refer to her, she told the Miami Herald. In a conversation about the Senate's leadership, Mr. Artiles said that the state Senate, that the Senate president, Joe Nogren, was elected only with the help of six black lawmakers, using a racial slur to describe them. So basically, he was like, yo, y'all only got this motherfucker in here because he got six niggas to vote for him. That's essentially what that call was. That's what he was talking about. Hey, it's six niggas. Y'all got this motherfucker elected. That's the only reason he's there. So, yeah, man. Like to be in that position, to be a state senator, to be that flippant, to be that disrespectful in front of two black people. He had to know something was going to happen. He had to know it wasn't going to be the last he heard of this shit. He called black people niggas to their face. Something was going to happen. Now, something was going to happen. Now, let's see. It says, Mr. Thurston interjected. He told the Miami Herald and asked Mr. Artiles to clarify if he had, in fact, used a derogative racial term. He's like, nigga, did you just call me a nigga? I know I didn't hear what the fuck I thought I heard. You didn't just call us niggas, did you? That's what happened. That's how that conversation went down. So, yeah, man. Mr. Artiles, motherfucking Frank Artiles, this racist piece of shit. Smug looking asshole motherfucker. You are the ass out of the week this week here at the Sparing Report.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ.
The champ is here. 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 The champ.
All right. Today's champ of the week this week here at the Sparing Report Podcast is 17-year-old Milan Morris, man. Milan Morris is, she went to prom and she made a statement. Milan Morris made a statement with her dress. And it isn't the typical prom dress, man. This dress actually sent the message And it was her around the world, man. She wore a dress that had the images of Trayvon Martin, Sandra Bland, Michael Brown, and a lot of others, man, who had been killed under police custody. And it was a Black Lives Matter themed dress, man. So let me see if I can pull this up so you guys can check this out for yourself. I'm pretty sure some of you may have seen it before, but I want to show you guys this dress, man. So let's pull this up. Screen share. And it's not allowing me to do it. Oh, there it is. Come on. There we go. Share. There we go. So let's pull this up here. And I can't make it bigger. Or can I? Let's see. Nope, can't make it bigger. But Trayvon Martin's face is prominent on the front. And like I said, in the train, there's pictures of, you know, Jordan Davis and Mike Brown and Tamir Rice and Sandra Bland and various others, Laquan McDonald, all of the people that have been needlessly murdered by the hands of the police. She sent a message, like she put herself in a position to make a statement, and she did. The dress was designed by Florida-based Terrence Torrance. He was the mastermind behind this whole thing. Honestly, Moore said of Torrance, describing his vision as a huge issue in America today. As for Torrance, the designer said he wanted to create a Black Lives Matter themed dress last year, but that things fell into place this year instead, so he could realize that vision. It took him 4 days to make the dress, but he feels it was worth it. And it's a really well-made dress, man, and it sent a powerful message. And shout out to Milan Moores for being the vehicle for that message to be sent out. I know a lot of folks are asking, like, yo, where's Black Lives Matter? Why ain't anybody talking about Black Lives Matter now? Man, they didn't kind of went to the wayside. You know, that was a movement given to y'all by George Soros and all this other bullshit. Nah, man, folks ain't forgotten. Folks are still out there putting in work. Folks are still out here grinding. Just because you don't see it on the news don't mean shit ain't happening. It don't mean shit ain't working. And yeah, man, this is what it is, man, real talk. But yeah, man, shout out to Milan Moores. She is the Spare Report Podcast Champ of the Week this week here on the show, man. But yeah, it's time for me to get out of here. Time for me to get out of here. But before I go, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spam Report Podcast and let your voice be heard, man. Go ahead and hit me up at that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show, respond in kind. You can also email me at feedback@thespamreport.com. That's feedback@thespamreport.com. Leave those emails. I'll read those emails here live on the show. Also, go to www.thespamreport.com. All your Spam Report needs are met there. Go there, vote in the polls. Go in there, leave comments. Go in there and donate if you can, when you can. All of that is appreciated here at the Spam Report Podcast. Everything is available there at thespamreport.com. Also, follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Spam, man. So go ahead and follow me there. We can chop it up throughout the week in between shows, man. But yeah, I got to get off of here. Got to get off of here. So I will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace.